just by way of backstory, the Los Angeles Police Department a decade ago was a pro bono client, if you will, of the University of Toyota, where I was working as sort of a full-time advisor. And I got selected to work with this outside group because I was not an employee of Toyota. I didn't have all the sort of corporate mindset, if you will. I didn't have all the acronyms in my brain and in my lingo. And they chose me to work with this very high-powered, completely type A group. These are the highest paid, highest ego, if you will, men and women of the LAPD. And the challenge was that, and this was 4 years after 9/11, terrorism had changed, counterterrorism had changed. They had come up with their own, organized their own counterterrorism division. And bomb techs, many people probably don't know this, bomb techs, no matter who they work for, whatever unit, whatever division they work for, whether it's police, army, what have you, they're all sort of, they're all trained in the same place and basically the same way. And the danger always is one of responding to an enemy who is scrappy, resourceful, doesn't act the same way all the time, and lo and behold, their standards of operating in terms of how to respond to a bomb threat were no longer effective. So I had to warm the room up because I had no expertise in their line of work. And so what I did was to give them a quick thought challenge, one that I had been giving to classes that I was teaching for a few months. It was a simple thought challenge based on a real-world problem, a business problem, but one in you know, up their alley, so to speak. It was about a theft, a minor theft, a petty theft that was going on inside of an upscale luxury health club. And I basically caught them doing all the things that get in the way of creative, innovative, elegant problem-solving, and it gave them pause. Here are the smartest folks in the department, and they couldn't solve this easy problem. And it was based on a story that that I had heard of a local LA, I'm in Los Angeles, Los Angeles upscale health club had several shower stalls. And in each of these stalls, they had this wonderful full bottle of salon level shampoo, which doesn't seem like it's much to talk about, but and for the men in the audience, it probably won't mean much. But this is a $60 or $70 bottle of shampoo that you really can't get at the store. You have to be a licensed cosmetologist to get it, and certainly get it at a decent rate. But everyone in the health club loves it. It's freestanding in each shower stall, and patrons rave over it. They love it, and the problem is that about a third of those patients. Patrons stick the bottle of shampoo in their gym bag and walk off with it every day. There was a 33% theft rate, and they had tried several ideas. And I said, you know, I'm the manager of this health club. You men and women are my associates. I know I'm not smart enough to solve this because I've tried. I want you to solve it, but I have a few constraints, a few goals. Don't spend any money. Don't change the offering in any way. Leave it a freestanding full bottle of shampoo. And don't interrupt the normal course of our operation here, because if you think about it, two-thirds of our customers are great customers. Have at it. Come back to me with your best solution in 10 minutes. That's what I gave them to work on.
In the book, you say, so stop here and try to solve this problem and think what you would come up for that with that. We're talking with Matthew May. Matthew is a innovation strategist. He's a corporate trainer. He's a speaker. He's author of 5 books, including his latest book, Winning the Brain Game, Fixing the 7 Fatal Flaws of Thinking. So I did this with my daughter. My daughter came up with the idea of taking the big bottle and pouring it into lots of little bottles, but that violates one of the constraints and also creates a big job for the people at the front desk, and probably doesn't remove the amount of the theft. I came up with the kind of in European hotels, especially, you see these containers on the walls of showers that have the shampoo. and they're attached to the wall, or maybe attaching an RFID tag to each bottle and then having some siren go off if the bottle leaves the shower area. I mean, those are the ideas that we came up with. And what did you do with the what kinds of ideas did the LAPD group come up with?
And, oh, very much.
And what do they illustrate about the flaws in the way we think?
The ideas that you just mentioned are very popular ideas, and I think none of which is what the health clause. But you introduced an important constraint, which was you're not allowed to put any additional burden on your patrons, which you just mentioned your daughter's solution would probably do. But I think what it illustrates is, and without giving away what the health club did, and we can argue whether it was a great and elegant and sustainable solution or not.
It was wonderful. You have to read the book, though.
A lot of people take issue with it, and the interesting thing is when they take issue with it, they add their own constraints or complicate the problem. But I think what it illustrates is that we have these patterns in our brain. Most of the ideas that get tossed out, like the ones that you just mentioned, you've already seen somewhere. You know, the notion of kind of a lockbox and RFID. You've seen those kinds of solutions, and you're trying to apply them to this situation. And what happens is because they're fresh in your brain, they're part of a pattern that you recognize through experience, they basically force your brain to almost ignore the goals of the problem in the first place. And what happens is you end up having a bunch of Me Too kinds of ideas. Not bad ideas, just they don't respond to the constraints of the problem, and you end up not solving the problem.